Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Sprites of Life podcast. I'm Lucas.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Don.
And we're back for another podcast episode. Thank you guys so much for tuning in and listening. Now, last episode, we got to have some fun. We had to have a good time with more Pokemon stuff. But today, I don't know, Chris, you gave me a brilliant idea this week.
As I often do.
We're going to go back to a time where Pokemon had competition. There was another franchise. A franchise who, when people saw it and stared upon it, they thought, oh, this will be either the thing that takes down Pokemon or this is a shameless ripoff. What are your thoughts on digital monsters as opposed to pocket monsters?
I think that if anybody actually thought Pal World was going to challenge Pokemon, they were not alive when Digimon was a thing. Because if Digimon couldn't kill
Digimon
Pokemon,
is still a thing.
Yeah, that's what we're going to talk about today.
It's not the same, and you know it. Not like back in the day.
Yes, you're right. And there are many reasons for it, which we're going to talk about. We are talking about Digimon today because, honestly, it's one of those things that is still going on. It has a very dedicated and passionate fan base, albeit they are much, much smaller than they would like to be. They are fun to learn about because Digimon is the most over-the-top nonsense. Like, it's what Pal World should be. The fact that Bandai Namco did not do with Digimon what Pal World is doing with their creatures, they are probably kicking themselves, for lack of a nicer way of saying it. Because Digimon is built on the rule of cool. It is built on saying, oh, that seems really nice, but how about we do this because it's cool anyway? They don't care. They do whatever they want, and I feel that they deserve to be noticed for it. So that's what this episode's about today. We're going to talk about Digimon, what makes it different from Pokemon, where it came from, and then I'm going to show Chris and Don some Digimon, and we're going to see how they react to it, because honestly, some of them are really weird, and some of them are just perfect. Y'all ready to play? Y'all ready to have some fun?
Let's go for it.
Cool. But first, we have news. All right. So, question for the both of you. How would you fight climate change? Like, what would be the thing you would use? What would be your platform to get people to change to fight climate change?
Oh, I thought you meant like in Futurama when they take a big iceberg and drop it in the ocean to cool it down once a year.
That counts. You can go
and
ahead and
like,
do it.
Kind of like that would be the game.
I mean, honestly, that would be super convenient if that could work.
It solves the problem once and for all.
Maybe find like a cute animal to rally behind.
We tried that. Polar bear. Didn't work.
But
people got
maybe
bored.
It wasn't the right animal.
Okay. What would you use?
A cuter animal.
A cuter animal.
Well, the pandas are still up for grabs, but we kind of did a good job saving them. So, we tried that. I might have found a better way, though. Apparently, in multiple like financial people have been posting about it recently. Coca and coffee prices are on the rise in part and mostly because of climate change. That's right. Climate change is now threatening your coffee and your chocolate.
I can see where this is going.
Yep. So currently, through a lot of articles I've been reading and looking through, the amount of cost it's going to take to produce any number of usable cocoa beans, like metric tons of the stuff, is going to skyrocket, and it has been skyrocketing since the start of the year. And there are many factors that are built into this. One of the biggest ones is climate change. When you have a warmer season and heavier rains, it damages the plant that chocolate and coffee are made out of. Because of that, it leads to losses in revenue and losses in product, causing them to raise the price in order for them to keep their business going and reaching record high profits. So the Ivory Coast alone is dealing with a bigger problem because all their, like 90% of their forests have been lost due to every number of reasons, such as forest cutting as well as just destruction. And it is driving more farmers to find less suitable land. It is causing more issues for health and harvest and removing lots of area that could have already been used for something else. These plants, as vital they are to us and vital they are to the economies of these areas, there's less room for them to grow. And because of that, you are going to start noticing an increase in price going down to the consumer. So I think this might be it. this is the thing we can use to fight climate change. You tell somebody.
People that, do like their caffeine.
Yeah, like tell people like, hey, you won't have coffee. Like what, they are going to lose it.
I see this going one of two ways, Lucas. I guess maybe three ways. One way is that nothing changes and it stays the same, and coffee just gets more expensive and we stop drinking it. The other options are that this works and people produce and we produce solutions to mitigate climate change and the price of coffee and chocolate, you know, remains the same. The other one is that somebody develops strains of these plants that produce in warmer climates. And then
I mean, they're already on the Ivory Coast. How much warmer can we make them be tolerant for?
However warm it gets.
Well, that's the other problem. Another problem that's happening as well is the fact that it's not even a problem. It's a great thing that most of these chocolate companies got called out for using, you know, child labor and basically slavery. And so that has also made it to that way. Oh, I guess we'll raise the price. Now they have to treat these people like human beings. But then climate change has also been tacked on to that, which is, again, if I'm paying more money to make sure people get paid a living and fair wage on another side of the planet, I'm cool with that. The fact that on top of that, we're doing something that we can't fix or that we're choosing not to fix or stop, that's the part I don't like. Like, I will easily pay two or three, maybe five, as much money as I need to in order to make sure that these people can live their life to improve, to, you know, survive. I don't want to do it because the climate is changing because people refuse to listen. This just might be what does it because people are inherently selfish. Maybe if I went after wine, I might do it.
That's a trifecta right there. Wine, chocolate, and coffee.
Yeah. I think just about everyone I work with in the office would, yeah, they'd get behind it. I mean, they're all climate people, so they're all cool with it, but like anywhere else, like, all right, we're taking away the chocolate, the coffee, and the wine unless you stop climate change. That might do it. Either that or they riot or start making their own toilet wine. One of the two.
Yeah, there's going to be a rude awakening if everyone starts making toilet wine.
Yeah, you can make sangria in the toilet. Of course, it's shanked or be shanked.
Or mead will rise up.
Oh, mead might be nice. I mean, we're killing the bees, though.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, see? We can't get nothing nice. All right, so gaming news. I guess this is more film than gaming, but it doesn't matter. Gaming, we finally film. Got it's film. We got him. Guys, we have the voice actor for Shadow the Hedgehog. It's Keanu frickin' Reeves. Yeah.
I can wait for him to sit there for a second and then go.
Oh my, yeah. They better give him just a handgun. I swear to God, they just give him a gun. That's Shadow the Hedgehog.
You told me that the Sonic movie would have Jim Carrey, Idris Elba, Keanu Reeves.
No one even cares who voices Sonic anymore. We're just like, nope, everyone else is fine.
I don't even tell you who voices Sonic.
They always have to credit their voice actors, right?
Ben Schwartz.
Really?
Yeah.
Parks and Recs himself. Oh my gosh. Yeah, though, you got Jim Carrey, Ben Schwartz, Idris Elba, Keanu Reeves, like all these, like, man, you are a eclectic bunch of actors. And honestly, love every second of it.
And beloved character actor of the CW, Neil McDonough.
I think it's even better because my coworkers who are parents have kids who love Sonic the Hedgehog and got a Sonic the Hedgehog cake for their birthday, and they don't play video games. Like, their mom was like, doesn't want them to get like too hooked into the electronic, but their kids are super into Sonic. And I have to be like, all right, eventually he's going to find out that these were video games first, and then you'll have to come to me.
Yeah. Then there's no
I did have to warn her about the Sonic fan base, though. I did have a very candid conversation of like, be careful when you Google Sonic. It is unpleasant. Yeah, wouldn't care for it. I mean, aside from that, there wasn't like any major, aside from the fact that in more TV and film news, Fallout slaps. Have y'all watched the Fallout series?
I haven't yet, but I've heard a lot of people, including you, tell me.
I'm like four episodes in.
So good.
Gotta space it out. I'm protesting the content drop and pacing myself.
I mean, that's fair. I have left purposely two episodes behind, like two episodes left, just so I can watch it later. I've been having, it's so good. I'm basically just sitting there like, oh, I know that. Oh, I know that. Oh, I know that. Like that. I love it. And that's what people who watch Twilight felt, because this is great. All right. News out of the way. When it comes to, with Digimon, we have to get one thing out of the way. It is not a clone of Pokemon. That is the one thing I'm going to just get right off the bat. Originally, y'all remember Tamagotchis?
Oh, yeah. Everyone killed their digital pet.
Yeah. They were cute. They were fun. You fed them. Bandai decided, you know what? Tamagotchis are great, but it's mainly girls who are playing with them. We want one for the boys. We want one that'll really hook the male audience. So they decided to make a series of Tamagotchis that were digital monsters. Not just cute little pets, but ones you could feed, get stronger, and make them bigger, and then have them fight other people's Tamagotchis. That was where the original idea of Digimon came from. Yes, you were keeping them in your pocket, but it wasn't like it was on the Game Boy. It was literally like its own little Tamagotchi thing. And they still make them to this day. Like, to this day, they still make Digimon-style Tamagotchis, and they're really great. Like, they look really cool. But
I have to say, I never actually knew that Digimon Tamagotchis existed.
Yeah, like there's some pretty great ones that are out there these days, but they're mainly all in Japan because that is where the majority of the fan base lives. Most people in the United States, they got into Digimon and then they lost it, and then there's a few people that are just kind of kicking around and loving it. Like, that's the newer one that's shaped like a Digivice from the show. But if you want to get to a more classic design, it looked a little closer to this. It looked a little more like a box than anything else. Yeah, what's in the box? Yeah, a little monster is going to kill. That's what these things were. They were little pocket pets that you kept with you. People really seem to forget just how much power it had back in, like, the early aughts, because that's when it originally aired in the United States. Today, obviously, we have a clear winner of who won between Pokemon and Digimon, and it's certainly a whole lot weaker. But this franchise had a hold on a lot of kids, including myself. I will still stand by the fact that the Digimon show was better than the Pokemon show at the time. By a lot. Like, it was great. It had more action. It had more hype to it. It had a lot more moments that were just, like, cool. And that was kind of, like, what their idea was when they were making these monsters. All right, to go back to the timeline, so when they were making these Tamagotchis, like, 6 months after they made their first ones, they made the newer ones, and that's where they started working on the designs being edgier. Instead of just being cute little squishes and what have you, they decided to make the monsters edgier and more dangerous, and much of their reference came from American comic books. This was the 90s around that time, so this is when comics were really digging in to, like, the whole the dark, grit, edgy stuff, and they decided to build that into the monsters. To this day, they have sold over 24 million of these pocket pet devices, and they're still getting, like, mobile games and stuff today. Like, it's not dead, but it's still doing pretty okay. Eventually, in 1999, it did get its first console game, Digimon World, and the first anime, Digimon Adventures, dropped in 1999 in August in the same year, a little bit later, and then eventually, the game came over in the year 2000. So Digimon really hit right at the turn of the century. And it was a really good time for it to hit. The whole idea of Digimon is that between our world and the internet, there's another world. It's the digital world, where these little monsters play. And the internet and why...
I remember the Stick theme song, too. Sorry for the interruption. I just remember the theme. They just came back to me.
Yeah, the...
From the anime.
The theme song is great in English and Japanese. Like, the song Butterfly that did in Japanese... Frickin' slaps. I will say, you know, I'm a nostalgic shill. I'm gonna go with the one that's, you know, from my childhood. Like, Digimon, Digital Monsters, Digimon Are the Champions will play at random in my brain. So you're fine to interrupt. Yeah, when it showed up here, it did pick up a wide audience base because of that weird connection to, like, the internet. Part of it is because back in the 2000s, the internet was, like, a new thing. Like, people were just... like, figuring out how it worked. And back in those days, if you knew how the internet worked, it was basically like a playground for you because you knew how to do things that other people didn't. There are plenty of people I identify with that. And so having a little game of, like, hey, you are connected to this world now, and there's all kinds of critters there just for you to collect. And it makes it really more powerful. It did pick up a very massive franchise. And honestly, it worked out really well. There are a whole bunch of toys and all kinds of stuff that were in the game. But with the popularity came the comparison to Pokemon, which was also doing gangbusters over there in the United States back in the day. But the big difference in the game's style is that Pokemon are basically animals. They're animals you train to do combat. With Digimon, you usually only get one or two at most, and then they're not dumb. Like, they're sentient. They talk with you. They're your partners. You're a tamer. You're working with them as a team member. So literally, you could get a Digimon and be like, you want to go play some chess? And they'll be like, oh yeah, absolutely. Let's go get them. Like, they have human-level intelligence. Which is why whenever the argument came up of which would you want, a Digimon or a Pokemon, it's like, I don't know. I kind of want to be able to, like, talk with my partner as opposed to just talking around like a dog. So that's when I was a kid, I would always be the one who said, I would rather have a Digimon than a Pokemon, which is blasphemous.
Are there Pokeballs, or does it just, like, exist next to you?
Just exist. It depends on which one you're watching. So the anime and the games have gone through a wide range of changes while staying kind of close to the original premise. Sometimes they can live in your phone. Like, they got the new one. Like, sometimes they can live inside, like, one of the characters in the anime, like, basically built a little digital playground in his laptop, and then they just crawled in through the laptop with digital powers and just hung out in the internet, and you could just call them up on your phone to come out. But that was later, like, in 3 years ago when they tried remaking the series that they did it. This time, like, back in the day, I was like, nah, you're walking with me. Come on, my little dinosaur friend. You're going to walk around and we're going to have a great time. The way it worked a lot in the shows and the anime, that you are in a digital world. Like, usually the human gets pulled into the digital world, not the Digimon to the human world. Now, it can happen where it fluctuates. That was an entire arc in the first anime where, like, oh yeah, we're back home now. Oh, we took our Digimon with me. Oh goodness, we brought one of the bad ones here. Oh crap. Oh god. Oh crap. And it basically, a digital army starts attacking Tokyo, and it's pretty rad. But it's really, really cool to see just how much variety they have put into these monsters that, again, as you said, no one really cares about here in the West, but, like, they've made a lot. Would you all like to take a guess how many Digimon there are currently?
Is it more or less than I would guess, having zero input at all?
It is more than Pokemon has.
Well, that's a lot, I would say, in that case.
2,000.
Okay.
1,800.
1,480.
That's pretty solid.
They have a lot of monsters. And part of that is because of how the Digimon evolve. Like, they digivolve. So basically, they'll start from a baby form, go to an in-training form, then they get to the rookie form, which is usually the form they stay in, on account that it's, like, the main one and it's cute, it's itself better. But then, they can evolve to champion, ultimate, and then Mega. The thing that makes them different is that a lot of times they can just shift back to the smaller form of Rookie. So they don't just stay big. They can get back to being smaller and more manageable. Yeah, it depends on which lore you're reading through it. Now, the things that they've designed Digimon off of, I'm going to show you some of these designs. They're pretty great, but they're also really weird because you have things like, you're going to have ones based off dinosaurs. After, you have a lot of dinosaur-based Pokemon, specifically Digimon. Ugh, I can't stop. They have dinosaur-based ones based on, like, the T-Rex and all kinds of stuff. But then they also have ones that are just based on poop or shortcake or guns. Like, lots of guns. Like, an uncomfortable number of guns. We will get to that. I will show a picture, and you will understand what I mean by uncomfortable level of guns. you have some Digimon will just go from, okay, dog, bigger dog, dog with guns, dog with biggest guns. And then you'll get things like, okay, let us go from this tiny ball of metal with a face to an angel to a giant bug monster that is the personification of Lucifer himself. Like, Digimon is wild with how it does things. We'll talk about the Digimon who are actually on this list in a bit, but it starts from egg and baby, then in training, rookie, champion, ultimate, Mega. And they get a lot of different shapes and colors and sizes, but it gets weird real fast because some of them are, like, designed to, like, yeah, here's a lion, but he's also dressed like a 90s gangster from Japan, like, sort of deal. Like, it's a very weird universe with a lot of possibilities. The problem is the games suck a lot. Like, the games are real bad. They have been real bad since the beginning. They have been real bad a very, very long time. It's disheartening, but it's true. If you're a Digimon fan listening, I am sorry. The games are mid at best. Would you like to guess the highest rated Digimon game? The highest. And it's one I actually like playing.
It's got a, what, like the original?
Like a Metacritic score. Like, this is one of the ones that I like.
72.
72? Don, what do you think?
58.
The highest one, I'm not going to count it because one is like a complete edition and one is another edition. Yeah, it is Digimon Cyber Sleuth, which came out the original in 2016. It has a 75 on Metacritic.
Pretty close.
You were pretty close. And I liked that one. That was a fun one because it dropped a lot of the weirder mechanics from the other games. Much of the mechanics in the other games involve painstakingly training your Digimon to evolve in a very specific way. If they do not like get the exact training and the exact points, then you get something completely different. Think of it like Tyrogue in Pokemon, where it can go to Hitmonchan, Hitmonlee, or Hitmontop, depending on the stats. And if you're one stat off, you get something different. Try that for all of them every time. Like, Digimon can evolve in so many different ways from just one. Like, it's ridiculous what they can do. But most of the Digimon games are in the 60s or 50s in Metacritic. They are the literal definition of mid, and it sucks because I love these games, and I love what they can do, and I love this franchise because it's so dumb and edgy. Like, this is fun. Like, this is what Power World is really ripping on. Like, it's taking it to the next logical conclusion. If Bandai Namco could get their crap together long enough to put out a good Digimon game, we'd all be talking about it. Instead, they just make some weird niche stuff for even weirder niche fans, and it's annoying. I want there to be more Digimon hype. And it's really sad that I have to be the one to be here on this little podcast being like, yo, Bandai Namco, I'm still your fan. I'm still your boy. Please try harder.
They're too busy making Dark Souls.
Got me there. They're still making Digimon stuff, though. Like, it was like the 25th anniversary, like a little bit ago. Like, they have been working real hard on, like, random Digimon stuff. And yet, they're still working on more Digimon games. Like, they still put money into them. I'm just saying, why aren't you making them better? The good news is, the ones that did do well, the Digimon story ones, they focused more on our traditional RPG elements. They still had some of the grindy stuff, but it was manageable. Digimon was awesome. It could be awesome again. But Chris, I am taking the opportunity to share with you just how weird Digimon is. So are you ready for your first Digimon?
Yes.
Now, this is the Pikachu of the Digimon world.
I recognize this one.
Look at the little dude. He is the mascot. He is the symbol of the franchise. And he is adorable.
Wait, you said it's what, Gargamon?
No. That is Agumon.
Oh, Agumon. Okay.
Yes. So Agumon is a tiny little T-Rex. He can shoot fire from his mouth in the form of his pepper breath attack. And honestly, I love this design on him. They made him a little bit cleaner and neater in the anime, but I absolutely like adore his weird little look.
He's so friendly.
Yeah, he is friendly. Honestly, in the games, he's usually a pretty chill fella. Pretty nice dude. So he tends to be, you know, pretty chill, pretty he doesn't tend to have a temper or anything. He's cute. He's tiny. He's well-respected in his little community. Eventually, though, he is going to Digivolve. And when he does Digivolve, he becomes a little bit gnarlier. I'll grab that one next.
Isn't this Greymon?
Yes. Good. You're learning. This is Greymon.
I know Greymon and Metal Greymon.
Metal Greymon. Oh, good. We're going to get to him next. Yeah, no, Greymon gets just a bigger dinosaur. These are probably some of the most normal Digivolutions of any of the Digimon. Most Digimon do not have, like, a normal standard stuff, but there are a few of them that are just like, no, this 100% makes some kind of sense. It is highly intelligent, and you're unable to tame it unless you are really, really strong. Like, that's the whole lore of this thing. I still don't know why they call it Greymon. I was trying to look that up, and I couldn't find a decent answer that I was, like, 100% on. Like, I don't know why they called him.
He's got a gray hat.
Actually, that's supposed to be based on, like, a rhinoceros beetle shell. So, again, super Japanese. It's, again, super aggressive, breathes fireballs of death, and yet it still keeps getting bigger to its, honestly, my favorite form is always going to be Metal Greymon, its ultimate form. Look at this monster.
Robot T-Rex.
The coolest thing.
I like it. I'm a fan.
How big is this?
So what's weird is that for size, like Greymon itself is a very like, it's a really big dinosaur. It's not so bad. A Metal Greymon, depending on, hang on, let me see if I can find. Yeah, that's a good indicator. Look next to his feet and you'll see his little tamer friend.
Yeesh.
Yeah, it's huge. It is the size of like a 7-story building. It gets absolutely massive. It's huge. Of course, that is not its final form. If you want to get into nitty-gritty, like, there are Digimon that can go past Mega. There are Digimon that can go even further beyond. Like, they kept adding ways to Digivolve. Like, there's even Digivolution where you can fuse with other Digimon to make Digimon that are even stronger. That's where all the Pokemon people get the idea of fusing Pokemon together, which is, I think that's a dumb idea, but that's just me. All right, so that's War Greymon. That's the last one of that line. The main last one, I'll say. I know there are going to be people.
I remember that guy. I remember seeing him on that, like one of the episodes I have seen. Seen
Metal that. Greymon is built on the fact that like it's got machines and it's terrifying. Then you have things like War Greymon. So with this creature, like it is able to the claws basically work like giant flipping swords of death. It's able to use a shield that's on its back to defend itself from attacks. It's basically throwing giant balls of fire. Like, it literally has the Terra Force attack where it just builds a giant sun with its two-hand spirit bomb style and then chucks them at anyone going near them. It also gets to turn itself into a drill and just pierce through a bunch of stuff. Honestly, it's one of the cooler designs from when I was a kid. Like, this was it. This was the one that everyone loved.
Was War Greymon in it? How many generations, to use a Pokemon term? How many generations in did it take to get War Greymon? Or was he there from the start?
So with Digimon, how it worked in the show is like if you have a bond of friendship and or trauma that tends to get your Digimon to Digivolve, it was pretty much introduced at the end. Like this is your end game. This is like your end game monster as it would. So if you were playing in a video game, this would be one of the last things you got before you started taking down harder missions. As the series went on, it had a real problem with power creep. So eventually you got to different things. You're like, oh no, now War Greymon can fuse with this other Digimon and become even stronger. And that can become even stronger. Or that can become even stronger. It really is a sufferer of its own hype in that regard. Like it's really cool that it can do its own thing. But the fact is, like, they really just won't stop Digivolving these things. That's the main line. Like that's the rookie to Mega. That's the standard people really remember. Nope. No one really cares about the in-training and the baby, unless you're like really into the breeding aspects of the game and getting everything right. But those are like the main ones. So just thoughts on them overall.
It seems like these, like, so in terms of like the vibe that I get is they're like, we want you to fight with the, and honestly, like, I feel like there is a space in this whole like partner monster world market where that can and should probably have a stronger foothold. But I almost wonder if they like doing too much.
We haven't gotten to too much yet.
Okay, that's maybe that's a little bit with it. Because like, I definitely like see the appeal of it. But it's also, it's a lot to take in. And this is one of the milder ones.
Don, you were mentioning the other one you talked about. So let's start with the next lineup. And let's start with Abumon.
I know that one too.
That's the guy.
Yeah. So that pelt that it's wearing on its head is not its own fur. Underneath it,
I like him,
is a little reptilian dude. It looks nothing like the other ones we're about to show you. Basically, what it does is it wears the pelt.
So that's to make a reptilian's joke. Ignore that.
It wears the pelts. Every time the Digimon I'm about to mention next passes away, like these little critters will go in, grab the pelts.
Like a little Cubone.
Yeah. They'll grab the pelts and just wear them. And then they'll just walk around with them because they want to be brave like that creature. And eventually that bravery does get them a little something something. And they get to go ahead and Digivolve into one of these. And that's Garurumon.
Big wolf.
Cat or dog?
That's a dog.
Yeah, a little bit. Yes.
That's a dog snout.
Yeah, I think that's a dog.
Yeah, okay. We'll go with dog. Yeah, Garurumon is Just
oh, you know what, too? Its claws are out. It can't be a cat unless it's in the cheetah.
You got me there. So it's, again, one that really likes fighting. It has been, like said multiple times without the series, that this thing will be defensive and loyal to things that it like. But it is very intelligent, like all these other ones. It faithfully obeys those it recognizes as a master leader. But it is very, very ticked off. And it uses ice attacks. Like, it has a lot of freezing and ice-based attacks, which will continue as you go further down the line. Now, before I show you this next one, Chris, what do you think is going to happen when this thing digivolves? Like, what do you think? What's the look going to be? What's the vibe?
So we went from, like, reptile wearing fur.
Yes.
To giant wolf beast.
Yes.
I would guess that we go back bipedal.
Mm-hmm.
And because you're asking me, I don't think we're going to be an animal.
No, you were half right. You were half right. Meet Were-Garurumon.
Okay.
They gave him pants.
And brass knuckles.
Yeah, he does. This is so, it's such a, like, this is the edgiest thing I've ever seen. I love him.
He looks like, someone's, like, edgy homebrew D&D character. Yes.
This is, like, peak 90s, and I love him so much. All right, Chris, where do you go from the werewolf who stalks things at nights and rips things apart with brass knuckles? Where do you go from there?
I don't, like, is it going to fly?
You know, you're not too terribly far off. It does get the ability to fly a bit in its next form.
Maybe I should design Digimon.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we could. Well, it'll be very easy to do. All right, you want to go ahead and, like, anything else? Yeah, so it can fly.
I think we're sticking with the wolf motif.
Okay.
And let's give it cannons.
You're getting really good at this. Like, you're getting it. You're getting there. Meet Metal Garurumon.
Oh, he looks like a Zoid. He's a Zoid. It's a Blade Liger.
It's a Zoid. They made a goddang Zoid. The wings function like blades. Those spikes are not spikes. They are missiles. And it shoots an extra rocket out of its chest. This thing is loaded with missiles hidden underneath its armor, and it just fires a barrage of death. Also, its tail is a sword.
Yeah, I noticed that.
It is the most peak thing I have ever. Like, this is so unnecessary, and it gets worse from here.
I actually like this line better than the Agumon line.
Really?
Or yeah, I dig this one. I don't know why.
All right, cool. So I'm going to give you another example of how things get weird. So I'm going to give you something you like. I'm going to give you something real nice, something you enjoy. There you go. It's Gat. This is Gatomon.
He's kind of got a little finnick. No, like Caracol, I guess, would be the cat equivalent ears with little.
Yeah, cuffs. So this is actually a champion level. This is like Greymon, but it's about, you know, up to your, like, waist. Like, champions don't always have to be big. Sometimes they can be really small. Like, there's no, like, size doesn't matter in terms of, like, power. Because War Greymon is actually smaller than Metal Greymon. Like, it's noticeably smaller. And Gatomon, while tiny, is still able to pack a punch. So, having seen this cat, where does it go from here?
I think I've seen, like, TikToks about this. Because doesn't this one become, like, an angel?
Oh, yeah. Meet Angel Woman.
That was out of left field.
Just like knowing that the other part of Digimon that they don't talk about as well is that much more of their characters are suggestive than others. Like, this is not even the most suggestive Digimon they have ever made.
What type is this?
This would be considered a light type vaccine build. With Digimon, it's not just the idea of typing. You also have a secondary typing of vaccine, data, or virus. So vaccines are ones that can take down viruses. Viruses take down data. Data take down
vaccines.
So that's the trifecta. And then you have the other ones with how types will work. So if you are a light vaccine type against a dark virus type, you're going to do 6 times the damage.
You're going to obliterate that virus.
Pretty much. But then you can also get weird mix-ups where, like, okay, yes, I am data and you are vaccine, so you hurt me, but I am water and you are fire, so I hurt you. And then you have to balance out that mechanic in the game. So you only get a slight percentage in how much damage you'll do against them because of it. It's a very
inherently good or bad ones. Like, are virus ones always like bad?
No, not always. I mean, some of them, like the virus ones, can be, are definitely going to be like the dark type symptom of like they're evil-ish. But you can have viruses of any many types. And there are some that are just, they look terrifying, but they're not so bad. This is probably one of the most beloved from the third generation of Digimon. This is Beelzemon.
Guns.
Yeah, no, we haven't gotten to the gun. Like, he just carries shotguns and stuff. Like, okay, you gotta admit, he looks pretty cool, right?
This, yeah, it's just this. This looks like Dark Souls with guns.
This is just a dude. I like.
He's like a he is like the lizard people in Dark Souls.
Yeah, he's a pretty chill dude. They had guns. All right, so I've been saving.
I like him.
I have been saving this. I've been saving this one for you both because we're gonna go off the. These are all things that show up in the anime. These are all things that have showed up in like the shows in some capacity. There are some that have only stayed in the trading card games they made and maybe one or two different games. Are you ready to start just how much gun that this show, this franchise has?
Go for it.
All right. So, you know Agumon, right?
Yeah.
Well, he has another version of Agumon. Commander Dramon.
I love that, actually.
Look at him.
I'm becoming more and more of a Digimon fan by the moment.
Look at this
what's that camo type called?
Digital camo pattern.
Yeah, he's got that's blue. Sick, actually.
Look at him. He's so cool. Yeah, he just leads a little squad.
He looks like a character from like Conker's Bad Fur Day.
He does. I've always wanted to play a game with this horrid little monster. He's a little T-Rex with metal feet. And what, Don, what is that? Is that an M16?
It looks like it, or at least in that family.
Might as well be.
Yeah, I mean, okay. So eventually it does digivolve into High Commandro Dramon. And it looks a little something like this. Look at this thing.
He got promoted. Good for him.
Get promoted. Look at
back, he to, got back in, to the nose knife.
Yeah, so he's from the Greymon line, so they're all going to look a little bit like that. So
he looks like he walked out of Helldivers.
He looks like he walked out of South Africa with that M16 rotary grenade launcher for a hand. One of my favorite designs when it comes to Digimon because it just goes over the top. Now, are you ready for more gun?
Sure.
Okay, so this one was actually from one of the original ones, and for some reason, he never made as much onto the anime as could have been. Meet Deputy Mon.
This isn't a real thing.
This is a real thing. You can Google it if you want. Look at him.
Oh my god, he's awesome. I want a picture of him on the back window of my truck. He's so cool.
I feel like this is the thing that's on like the mud flaps of trucks in the Digimon world.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it should.
When they find him,
this guy's awesome.
When they find him in the anime, he is guarding a cowboy style town. He's an ultimate level Digimon. You can get him in some of the games. He's just so cool. I love how dumb he looks. He's so good. All right. I just needed to warm you guys up to it because Deputy Mon is one of my favorites, but there is one that has never made it into the game. There is one design that has been like too much for people. Like, it has never made it into anything past the trading cards and a couple of other. Are you ready for Gundramon?
Yes.
Okay. You're not ready.
Dude, this thing's awesome. It looks like a boss from Metal Slug.
It's all gun. It's just all guns.
Are its toes guns?
No, it's the only thing that... They're bullets.
If its knees have guns, its toes should be guns.
This thing's so cool.
It's the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Put this thing in Pacific Rim 3.
Count how many guns it has.
I just like feel like for guns of that size, revolver is not the direction I would have gone.
Yes, but your argument is not valid because it's just so cool.
You don't need shoulder-mounted revolvers.
Why the heck not, Chris?
You're right. You're absolutely right.
Dramon so much. It's too much, and I love him. There's so many weird Digimon out there. Like, I mean, I'm going to pull up, like, here's one of the trees for one of the more aquatic ones. So it goes from Little Guppy to this dude, Crab, monster inside crab shell, but it could also turn into bigger lobsters.
I actually kind of dig that lobster.
Yeah.
Let me go. Yeah, I like the prehistoric guy on the Scorpiomon. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Abedramon. That is the lobster Digimon. It's got a pretty sick vibe to him, not going to lie. Let me see if I can pull up any other ones. Because literally, oh god, we have to pull up Leomon. Because there is some things to be said about Leomon. Just look at this dude.
More brass knuckles.
Yeah, they really like...
Dude, I swear these guys are in the forest in Dark Souls 2.
So in the anime, there is a tradition that if you see Leomon in the anime, chances are he is going to die.
The Sean Bean of Digimon.
Yeah, a little bit. Him and another Digimon named Wizardmon. They always die in the anime. Now, when Digimon die, like, it's not that they're, like, killed off. They're literally stabbed or blown up or whatever. They turn back into data, and then that data will somewhere else become a Digimon egg, and the whole process will start over again. Digimon don't die. Basically unkillable.
That's reassuring.
Yeah. There are cases where they can be killed if you, like, oh, no, this is a super virus made by some horrific mad scientist, Herbert. And that has gotten to a couple of other things of, like, in the third season of the Digimon anime, they did one of those things at the climax. All right, so you know how I showed you Metal Greymon?
Yeah.
All right, so in the show and in the games, if you treat your Greymon with, like, respect and dignity and all that stuff, it turns into the much stronger Metal Greymon. If you try and rush it and treat it like dirt, it turns into its weaker, but much cooler, Skull Greymon.
Oh my, no, nope.
Nope? Hang on, let me get you a nicer image. Here you go. I'll put the nice image up. There you go. A little bit lined up. There he is. That friendly little guy.
I don't like this one.
You don't like it?
I don't like this one.
He's trying to give you a hug. He's reaching out for you, brother.
He can hug you.
You know, he's smiling. God, look, he's smiling. A nice little guy.
I mean, you could describe that as a smile.
that's really it with Digimon. Like, there is not as much science to learn from these guys because they basically built their entire image on aesthetic is more important than anything else. Pokemon, for all its faults, does it in such a way that, okay, we want to make this thing somewhat similar to what we're basing it off of. We want to try and have some sort of continuity. Digimon has no continuity. It does basically whatever it wants. It follows a couple of set guidelines, and it just goes from there. There is nothing I love more than when it comes to seeing this stuff. Because honestly, it's cool. There's no reason that Power World should exist when Digimon already does. Like, I am so angry at Power World, not because it copied Pokemon or anything else like that. I'm angry because it should have been Bandai Namco putting Digimon out there shooting at you. That should have really been the thing. That would have been rad. Can you imagine being chased by this horrifying monstrosity and the only thing standing between you and death is a cat? You like horror movies. Oh, hang on. Let me go grab another one for you. Honestly, let's see. Oh, here's a good one. So in the show, they actually had it where one really evil dude decided, you know what? I am going to take all of your Digimon. I'm going to take all the Digimon from the main cast. I'm going to mix up and scramble their DNA, and I am going to make one super Digimon. And that is where you get Chimeramon.
That honestly less creepy than Smiley Skeleton.
Yeah, Skull Greymon's a bit of a weirdo, but even this Digimon could evolve into more terrifying things. This isn't our longest episode by far. I just wanted to show you guys why this needs to be more, so that way we can talk about it more later. If they actually put in more effort into it. I keep saying the same thing over and over again because I get so upset. Look at this. Look at all that. There's 1,480 of these dudes. Like, what would you like to see? Don, what would it take for you to get into a game like this? What is the gameplay you're looking for with creatures like this?
Honestly, it looks pretty cool. I might, they're like RPG style games.
The Digimon Story Cyber Sleuths are the ones that are based on, like, they have the RPG element. Sadly, they don't have a lot of the gun ones, which makes me sad. Like, I can't play as a Commandramon yet, and it's infuriating. But you can make Digimon teams. You can fight other Digimon and throughout the game. There's even like a weird online, like, versus other players sort of format. But it's hyper-competitive and really weird because, like, only certain metas work. Like, maybe only two. But it's wild. I love, love, love this franchise. Not as much as Pokemon, but still a lot. I'm sure there's a Digimon fan fuming at me like saying this, but like this franchise is nuts. It has no rhyme or reason. It needs to be better. Like the games and all this other stuff should be coming here, and yet it isn't because they keep fumbling the bag on this. It's like all this great content, and there's nothing they're doing with it really. And it's heartbreaking. I feel bad, but what can you do? There's only so much you can do with this sort of stuff, and I'm just glad I could share my love of this franchise with you guys, because this is honestly one of my favorite things from my childhood. Like, this takes me back to when I actually thought that Digimon could beat Pokemon, and it's not gonna, but you know what? That's fine by me. So thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys, Chris, Don, for indulging me in this one. I had a great time just sharing this stuff with you. It's not our most scientific episode. I don't think we're allowed to get away with it, right?
It's fun. Rule of cool.
Rule of cool. Rule of cool. Rule of cool.